DocCast, episode 210. Writers and artists, round one, fight!
Oh no, they used pornography! Wait, they both do it! Wait, oh god!
Oh, they're so sticky! There's goo all over the screen!
Alright, I'm Saverin.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
And I'm Shiva.
And we're DocCast, and we're here with a whole pile of emails for you this week.
And none of them are on topic, so we're just going to delete them all.
No. We actually got some follow-ups from, like, the second that we need to read. We got basically 2 weeks of stuff to talk about.
People wrote in about the topic that we told them not to write in about.
Yeah. They're like, hey, you know, I can't help myself. And I'm like, yes, you can, because you wrote a wall of text.
And delete.
I'm sorry if I just sort of shot my mouth off, you know. I couldn't hold back from emailing. I'm a shoot from the hip kind of guy.
You know, I just had to bang out these words.
That's right. Yeah, hey, shoot me an email.
And so he did. And it gets right to the heart of the matter.
Y'all are bad.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know about the caliber of some of these emails.
You know, they might have gone off a bit half-cocked. You know, they certainly think they have a lot more ammunition.
Well, this email was sawed off. Okay, I give up.
Thank you. At least we didn't, you know, do the there's this apparently a game on one of the radio plays that our friends listen to, and it's like the words of one sound, which means you can only use one syllable word. And Sarah got Zap playing this the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And how did it? The words that they described the as in like retarded speaking spells.
Yarp, yarp,
yarp.
So yeah.
The but it's been a week. Things are.
Oh,
rapidly.
My God. Fiesta is
oh
next week.
Oh, my God, yes. Exterminate.
Oh.
Oh, man. 1 week, and we still have... I still have so much to do.
Mm. Holy shit. I'm in good shape. I've got to start assembling my boxes, which means this weekend. Which is basically all the dealer's boxes.
See, all my stuff is execution. All mine is on-site. And making sure I have everything.
I'm sorry, was that another gun pun?
Apparently.
Execution.
No, but it could be seen as one. It's all about, you know, pulling it off and not coming off half-cocked. And
you can't stop, can you?
Well, we got all our stock. We just got to get it all locked and loaded.
Fired.
I only get one shot to make a good impression.
And I really want to see this con go off with a bang.
So, got questions? Fire away.
don't say that at the live show. Someone will actually shoot us.
You were in danger of that already.
This is Texas, after all. Dallas has killed one president. Now it'll kill a podcast. That would be really bad.
That's kind of a weird comparison. It's like, they'll known for two things. Shooting JFK and shooting Notcast. One of these two was far less high profile than the other. Thus was the first shot fired of the great podcast wars of 2013.
Is that when, like, Rikoshi and such comes in and goes...
Yeah, you've got the various...
They're all up in, like, the dark glasses and the fucking like, gangster shades
Kyle,
and
when
hats.
They come in and they're like... They can't see me crossing my arms like a retard.
We have to have a fucking, like, podcast gang war.
Oh, man. Yeah. And then, you know, the winner that comes out on top in the furry, you know, has all these other podcast areas to fight over.
And I'm just laying on the ground, and I'm, like, bleeding, and they're standing over me with their guns, and I'll be like, wait, don't shoot, I'll publish your books. And they're like, we'll let him live. But you don't need your legs to publish. No. Okay, let's get it.
And you and I offer, I'll give you a space in the den next year.
So
what can you do?
I'll suck your dick, just please don't shoot me.
Yeah. You don't need legs to suck. I need my knees. I need my knees. Yeah, it's holy crap. It's a week till Fiesta.
Yes.
If we were sitting here next week, we would be really fucking dumb because the con would be going on.
What are we doing in your living room?
Why are we here? I don't know.
Wait a minute. Why are we doing a show tonight? Didn't we have something to... Oh, shit! Followed by the sound of microphones hitting the floor as we run out the
door. I could just hear cheering up, honey.
Tess is very angry with you.
Badger.
Oh, man. That's a week away. I've still got work to do on the site. I've got a flyer to design. And how much are you... Do you know how much a, like, 1.5 by 3 banner runs? Like...
They're not cheap.
Depends where you get it from. I mean, they're...
Right, I've seen black some, and white or color.
Yeah, I've seen some places it's like $40-$45. The printer... If you just wanted it, like, on the same photo paper stock that some of the promo posters come on, then our printer could probably do that for not too much money.
Yeah.
You need something to promote the thing with the thing.
Mm-hmm. But the lead time is so short.
Oh, that's okay. Guardian is going to send me the Fiesta directional signs by Saturday, so I'll be sending everything I want him to print this weekend. So if you get me something, I could still have them print it, and they're going to be probably... We'll probably be paying extra, because they'll be like 2-day airing it out here.
I have a wallet of cash.
Okay.
Not literally right now, but I can get you the money.
Okay, you need to stuff it down my pants.
Okay.
Just to be clear, that's what it takes. Down Fuzz's pants.
I have a banner. It's a great banner, and I just, you know, need a banner. Because banner. Hulk smash.
So I've gotten something like 26 boxes of books in the mail in the last couple of days.
Are you saying you need people to help schlep them?
No, we're mostly unpacking them. We're gonna have...
Oh, man.
Probably like Buck and Zia will help tear and pack the car on Thursday. Just
think, dude. This is the first year of a Fiesta where we don't have the death march down the stairs into the car.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. We've already experienced that joy with like loading and unloading the boxes coming back from the post office and stuff like that, so... It's super, super nice.
Yep.
It's a lot less wear and tear on my back and my knees and everything.
Dude, you just need to get some, like, those little thin rollers that extend. Just keep in your garage.
Tyrion didn't want to do that, but I'm totally down with just...
You have linoleum, right? Isn't it, like...
Yeah, there's a very thin carpet in the production room, and then there's tile between the production room and the garage.
Dude, just get some rollers. Just have one person at the end to catch...
Just flying into the back of my car. Bam. But what I wanted to put out there for our listeners, if they're going to be, any of our listeners are going to be at Fiesta, I'm going to buy stuff from me in the dealer's room. We have all this stuff came in from Sofa Wolf, including stuff that we've never carried before, like the Hugo Award-winning Digger, their new books from Last AC, like Blood Jaguar and... the hell is that noise?
It's the Ice Maker.
Oh, okay. Plus, we have a Divisions that just came out at FC. Mm-hmm. So that is the third book in Kyle's Out of Position series. And we also have a limited number of hardcovers of Divisions and Out of Position and Isolation Play.
Nice.
So if you need to like grab the hardcovers, and Kyle will be there. Like last year, hovering between our table and Blotch, who is right next to us. And he can autograph and stuff. And Rikoshi will also be at our table a good chunk of the weekend to autograph Summerhill. And we have plenty of hardcovers of Summerhill, too. And the other neat thing that we got from Sofa Wolf that we've never had before, we have the Nordgard card game.
Cool.
Which I know Tyrion and Buck and a couple other locals have played, so... Mm-hmm. And some, it does can be kind of hard to find because I don't think they sell them on their website very often. They'll bring it to cons and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But it's cool because they had like specially made dice and everything that are like laser etched and stuff like that. So
yeah,
we got lots and lots and lots of good shit that we're totally going to be just selling the fuck out of.
Oh.
Ooh.
So, my week has been slightly exciting in the facing one's own mortality.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Sleep doc. Went to that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, holy shit, you have sleep apnea really fucking bad.
Mm-hmm.
To the extent this morning, they're like, yeah, we're going to get you a CPAP that also integrates oxygen into it. Yeah. Today, so.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, I'm only seconds from death any given night.
Perhaps. Is that actually what they said?
No, but it was sort of like, wow, you have like the worst case I've ever seen. Or one of the worst cases they've ever mm-hmm. seen.
I told you it was bad.
Well, now it's quantifiably bad. I go back for the follow-up on Tuesday, where I'm sure they'll probably, well, I don't know if they will, but they might, you know, subject me to like, all right, this is your hideous true form, sleeping on the bed. This is your body flailing as it tries to kill you. This is your body flailing as it tries to not die.
Mm-hmm. The problem is that your tongue rolls back like a little tube and completely blocks your airway.
Oh, man. I'm trying to strangle myself in my sleep.
Oh, man. You're just trying to deep kiss yourself.
So, I mean, that's about the extent of my week. I mean, that...
Are you okay?
I got something caught in my throat. Oh, my tongue.
I've actually had a cough off and on too lately, but
yeah.
Well, you know what would be amazing is that what if once you're getting a full night's sleep and proper oxygen to your brain, it turns out that you actually have an IQ of like 200, and you just suddenly you fucking completely change overnight, and you're like that's 487 toothpicks. Yeah, not that you'd be like totally Rain Man, but you could just suddenly do like complex calculations in your head, and
that would honestly be nice, because there are some days where I'm super 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 tired,
yeah,
like all the fucking time, and it really sucks. Mm-hmm. And there are some days where I just can't fucking English.
But you could Japanese instead.
No, I can't even do that. And Yoshidoshi. Yosh. It makes doing certain things very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me feel dumb.
Yeah, plus, you know, but exhausted all the goddamn time.
And you already have the natural handicap of being in Texas.
And being a fox.
So, once
we're going to add cum to your CPAP, because that's what you really need to breathe.
You know, but it was funny, because I've already gotten a message from, like, you know, I hope that proper oxygenation doesn't, you know, change your unflappable calm.
What?
From his other co-host.
No.
When he's properly oxygenated, all of a sudden he's a fucking real firebrand. And it's just...
And he's like, oh, dude, you're not mellow anymore. I'm like, no, this is serious business, dude.
Fuck you. Fuck you. You're cool. I'm out of here.
And then, you know, my plan for world domination will totally happen.
Yeah. Well, I've been worried about you, so I'm really glad that you're getting this shit taken care of.
Well, it's just a matter of, you know, I got this. I went to the doctor like the first week of January, once the deductible reset,
mm-hmm.
and got this scheduled as soon as I could, and then which was January 24th, and then I got my sleep study scheduled as soon as I could, which is on the 13th.
And ain't no reason to wait around now. Once you got the insurance, go for it.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to hit the deductible super fast. So, I mean, and what sucks is, though, that because it's been so bad, I probably have, like, heart damage or something like that. So I'm going to have to go see a cardiologist about this shit. It's actually, my health is a fucking mess right now.
Mm.
In, you know, not day-to-day, I guess day-to-day if I'm, like, really tired, but, like, in terms of long-term.
Well, I guess
my health is kind of fucked.
If you don't get enough sleep and everything, it messes with your metabolism. It messes mm-hmm. with, you know, when you get hungry and how much you get hungry for, because you'll eat to try and make up for lack of sleep.
Mm-hmm. And when you're having an apnea fit, as it were, or whatever they term it, an apnea event, because your blood oxygenation gets so low, your heart tries to beat faster to compensate to carry the limited oxygen faster, so you end up waking up with your heart just pounding.
Have you woken up like that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And it sucks.
I thought you were going to say as your body gasps for air, you take a deep breath, and you suck in a cake that happens to be across the room, and then that fucks up your blood sugar.
You know,
and that makes you diabetic in like 10 years.
Thankfully, that is not a problem I have.
Okay.
Because I did have that checked out.
Because, I mean, I know a fox's sucking ability, you know. If
it's amazing.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
That's why there's no spider webs in your bedroom. You've been sucking them off the wall all this time.
You know how the average person consumes like 10 spiders a year?
Yeah.
I've eaten like 10 already.
Yeah. You're like, actually, you're made of spiders.
Oh, shh, don't tell everybody.
Like, we couldn't figure out why your skin kept crawling during the night. We thought it was a reaction to the diode thing.
Just eating spiders.
Turns out you're made of spiders.
And scorpions. And the scorpions were on purpose.
That'd be so fucked up. Like, you go to the doctor for a regular checkup, and they, you know, they give you a stick in the arm to test your blood. As soon as the needle penetrates your skin, just spiders just pour out. You're like the thing in Nightmare Before Christmas when he opens up and just, like, bursts out with, like, the worms.
Boogie.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's been my
sorry, that's medical... the longest stretch in comparing you to something I've ever had. My bad.
That's okay. So it has been an interesting week in that I have had to face my own potential mortality. So
how old are you?
I'll be 30 in June.
Okay. I don't know. It's I had, like I said before, I've had a scare in my like 20s too about, hey.
Yeah.
Well, hey. This is just, it's getting a handle on it and, you know, see a cardiologist, maybe, you know,
mm-hmm.
do some weight loss related things.
Mm-hmm.
Try to get my shit in gear.
Yeah. I'll roll you down some stairs. And, I don't know.
That'll just, it'll loosen up the fat and then you can just take it off.
Yeah. Oh, I just keep punching you in the stomach till you throw up and you'll throw up the fat.
That's how it works.
Totally, yeah. Science.
It works, bitches. So, Shiva, how are you?
It's not been that much of an exciting week. Had Valentine's Day.
Yeah. All right. Except, that old thing,
yeah.
Pfft, yeah, ended up, so my work had its 25th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, the founders decided to start it on Valentine's Day, which means we had our party on Valentine's Day.
That's romantic as fuck, yo.
I did get to bring a date, so I brought Sarah.
It's actually kind of nice you guys got to go out somewhere and have like a nice dinner.
Yeah, they fed us a really nice catered dinner. I had good desserts, and it had an open bar, which Sarah really liked.
He always does.
Yeah, he's like, you got me an open bar for Valentine's Day. You're the best girlfriend ever.
And then for years, Shiva's boyfriend will be the talk of, remember that one party?
Actually, he was really good. He was really good.
There was that little guy in panties running around with, like, bottles of booze. No. I love this company! Woo!
Oh, God.
Do you even work here? No, I love this company.
I don't think either of you ever saw the show GCB, right?
No, I never did.
It's short for either, like, Good Christian Bells or Good Christian Bitches, depending on...
Which
who you're asking. Well,
I've always heard it as Good Christian Bitches, and, like, people got really offended by that. It's like a banner for it downtown or something.
Yeah,
like
it mocks some of the local Dallas social scene.
Yeah.
About, like, upper white Christian... And that's pretty much what the owners of my company are like.
Oh, God, really?
Yeah, so... And I just warned about when we sat down, we watched the show because we watched like 5 episodes. It's like, I work for these people.
this isn't funny anymore. I can't keep watching this.
No, it even made it more funnier because I knew what they were mocking. It's like, I work. And he's like, nah. Then I took him to my company parties, and it's like, and when they lead off dinner with a prayer and they start thanking everything for the Lord's hand on our company, and he's just like, I just walked into an episode of GCB. It's like, I told you.
Well, he tweeted, is it rude to drink your beer while they're praying?
Probably.
Yes. I see, when I do that, I just kind of drop my head and...
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I just roll with it. I mean, you know, I've, like...
It's kind of like, whatever, guys.
Tyrion's family do grace at Christmas when we eat, because, you know, it's Christmas, and I just kind of close my eyes, bow my head, say amen. I'm not the kind of atheist that gets all, no, fuck this shit, man.
It's just kind of like, be respectful, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like,
you're a stranger in a strange land. I mean, for all I know, if I protested, they might fucking, like, drag me outside and pin me up to a cross and burn my ass or something. you don't want to get on the wrong side of those Christians, man. Those people are crazy.
So, he's just like, oh my God. But then the food was good and open bar, and you know, my coworkers are actually pretty cool people, so
mm-hmm.
we had a good time. Other than that, it's just like watching him go, my God, it's like, yeah. And
welcome to reality. Welcome to my reality.
Oh. It's like, yeah, I do not fit in with the demographic of most of my coworkers.
Yeah, and I had to realize that your company is not the same company, even though, yeah, I was like, wait a minute, wouldn't you have gone, but no, never mind.
No.
I'm just being derp.
Yeah, I don't work for their company.
Yeah, so, that's exciting. I mean, Valentine's, Panther and I went out and
had
dinner, and then we were all kind of tired. Because I woke up at 6 a.m. that morning and didn't get a nap.
That was the other thing. Other than that, we did have a minor disaster. So last year, Siam ordered me flowers and was delivered to my work. Except for whatever reason, they reversed the to and from. So it got delivered to the back door of my work, addressed to his real name. And they're like, who's this and why did he get flowers delivered there? So it's like hanging out there for half the day. I finally wander up to the receptionist to ask something else. And she's like, hey, you know everybody. Who's XYZ? It's like, that's my roommate. Because I have roommates. I don't have two partners
at work. Right.
And it's like, that's my roommate. And we open up the... It's like, oh, apparently it's from me to my roommate at work. Ah, they got things backwards. This year he ordered flowers 2 weeks in advance. And they never arrived.
Whoops.
And I got Sarah flowers, and I got them delivered to, or I had them ordered to deliver to you guys' work, mm-hmm. and they never arrived. So on that day, all the flowers at my household ordered two separate batches, two different companies, neither of them fucking got there.
That's a really bad track record.
Yes!
It's like, that's the one day that flower delivery service can't fuck up. That is, you call it extra people, all hands on deck,
Get your siblings to come in for one day. Yeah.
That's why you just call them and be like, neither one of my pegs are out, you give me my money back.
Well, Siam called his company, and after a lot of fighting, they said that they're going to give him a refund, and I've been emailing mine back and forth, and they're saying, well, once we really investigate it, which means get a hold of the florist and find out if they actually got delivered, which they didn't. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. Then they'll think about giving me my money back. So, and I'm like, look, I don't care where the screw up was. I ordered from this online company. If the local florist that you contracted to do it, that's between y'all. But I didn't get my flowers.
You need to give me my money back. Yeah. Yeah, all right.
So you need to take this up with the florist, and you need to give my money back.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So we didn't do anything super special for Valentine's Day. We just watched a TV show together and then kind of got back to what we were doing. We're both really busy right now with a lot of For Planet stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But what we are going to do is, like, next week, we're going to go out to eat somewhere nice. Because we don't go out to eat at a nice place on Valentine's Day.
It's hectic.
Because I never remember to do it in advance. And it's always busy. And that is fucking crazy. So, like, next Wednesday or Thursday or something like that, we'll probably end up going out and having fondue or something together, which would be nice.
We, Usually, if we're going to do something on Valentine's Day, we usually end up with going out and getting some nice steaks or something so that we stay in. And I'll just cook us up some nice steaks and have, like, a really nice meal in.
Mm-hmm.
We've gone out a couple times, but we made sure we prearranged it. And even then, it's usually such a headache and so fucking packed, it's not worth
it. Yeah.
So
and even if you prearrange, you'll probably still have to wait when you get there.
So yeah. We had...
Well, I mean, that's if you're going to go any place remotely romantic.
Me and Sarah went to my work function, and we did get fed a very nice meal. Tomorrow, me and Siam are going to go out, see a movie, and probably go have dinner out together. And before the staff meeting.
Yeah.
And
the staff, is that the hotel this time, right?
No. It's next door.
Oh, fuck. Again?
Yeah.
There's not enough room in that apartment.
Skype in.
Okay.
We've got... So that's what... And then we've got to assemble all the bags for Fiesta on Sunday.
Yep.
That's an interesting process. Stack, 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 stuff, 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 stuff. You're good at stuffing things, right?
Yep.
No, he's good at being stuffed. In this equation, he's the bag.
I know. I mean, you would think the bag would have lots of experience with stuff.
So, anyways, we should read an email.
But then he, like, covers the schedules and stuff with lube and...
So
just one more. Let's see. We're going to go back
Monday,
to our...
Well, one second. Monday, we got a three-day weekend.
Yes.
Ah.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take Sarah. Siam's got to work because his company isn't nice. We're going to take him out and use one of his Christmas gifts because I got him a whole bunch of things to do it for Christmas presents. And one of them is archery sessions. So we're going to go down.
You're
going to
design a building?
So we're going to go and shoot bows for like a couple hours.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's fun.
I guess mine just updated. Like the thing I just tapped just went away.
Hmm.
Okay, all right. So, Savern, you wanted to read an email?
Yes, we're going to go to our email segment as you don't want to drive people crazy by just going on and on and on and on.
I don't want to bury the lead.
Yep. Oh, okay. This is an off-topic one. This is from the second.
Okay.
Because we have 2 weeks worth of show to just the emails worth to discuss.
Yeah, we didn't read shit last week, Shiva. We decided to just slack off and
talk.
You just ramble too much so where you ran out of time?
It was actually a conscious decision that we just wanted to do it like a ramble cast kind of thing where we just bullshitted.
And it worked out pretty well.
We just sat here and like belched the national anthem to each other.
Masturbated some porn we found.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
We filled up a jug with it. Would you like a drink?
No, thank you. I've got Pepsi.
So this is the question. The subject, polishing your wand, Potter? Mm-hmm. This is a question of pure curiosity. Hope it isn't too late for this week. Well, because it was on the second, it's not too late. When and how did you find out about sex? When and how was the first time you came? I found out about sex when I was 5. I lived in a group home, and the big kids had no qualms about answering my questions.
Huh.
Oh, my. As for the first time I came, I was 13, got stuck under my bed, and there was lots of friction. Punny noises. Whoa.
Robot noises.
Legion Bunny. For some reason, it's occasionally going all robot note voice on us.
I'm not sure if that's we're hearing wrong or if that's like recording wrong, but.
So, when and how did you find out about sex?
I was handed a book when I was 12. What's Happening to My Body? A Book for Boys.
Okay.
And that was pretty magical.
And the first time you came?
About the same age.
Ah.
So, congratulations, my puberty was thoroughly normal.
Let's see. When I was, I forget what, how old I was. I remember there was a Nova special my parents had called the Miracle of Life.
Mm.
And we were not allowed to watch part of it. They would fast forward to part of it. And we got to see the part where once the baby was formed, was like a fetus. And we got to see the part where the second half where they grow. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like, oh, well, so we got to see how babies were formed. Well, I found out later why they didn't get to watch the first part of it, because it showed ejaculation and the actual process. It wasn't quite porn, except
it was one of those fiber optic camera kind of views of the shot coming out. Yeah.
There's other porns that have recreated that in glorious, you know, Technicolor, but at least at this point it was for a documentary. But
well, I mean, it's educational.
So, but at one point I snuck and I wanted to know what my parents didn't want me to see, so I rewound it and I watched the first half that I wasn't supposed to see. And went, oh,
and you were like, oh, it's a Red Ruskery internal shot. That's so
hot. Well, I knew exact kind of in theory what happened, because but it was my first time actually seeing the human action of it, because before that my parents had horses, and one of the things was we made a baby horse at one point, and we got, me and my little sister got to see the full process of this is how horses are made. And I was like, oh,
and that gave you a skewed sense of male anatomy for years.
So that,
what do you mean it doesn't come down to your knee?
That's how I figured out about the birds and the bees, and
right, then later, the horses.
And later on, I found my dad's porno mags.
Ah,
yeah.
Oh my.
Oh yeah.
As for when I first came, I was at least 5. The earliest I can remember is about 5, because...
Okay.
Yes, 5 years old. I've been doing it for as long as I can literally remember.
Wow.
Yeah.
She's got you beat.
4? 3. I can't remember 3 all that well. I mean...
Well, I mean, when you're a kid, you just figure out...
Webster's making signs.
She just remembers the earth-shattering orgasm.
No, well, I knew I was doing something. I knew it felt good. I didn't know the word for it until later on.
That's when a lot of parents have to kind of step in and say, you do that in private time.
They did do that. I do.
Because, I mean, how else are you going to know when you're that young?
Like, don't do that. Not now. imagine I was like a small child, the equivalent of the dog humping the leg or the spritz bottle.
You're just humping your parents' legs. And they're just like, no, time and a place.
No, time it's and a like, place. Yeah. I mean, later on I realized once I got to, you know, sex and, you know, I started, it took me a while to figure out that what I was doing
was sex.
Was actually masturbation, because it was like,
There's a word.
There's a word for that.
And that's a fun word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I've never had problems getting to orgasm. Luckily. Not a girl that has that problem.
I think I was probably about 7, and my mom had this book called The Body Book.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I don't know if it's available in the States or if it was a popular UK thing, because I've heard other UK people talk about it. And it wasn't like, I mean, it had drawings of, like, erect and flaccid and a man and woman laying in missionary style, except it didn't use all the technical terms. I don't remember what they called the man's parts, but for some reason, I still remember that how a baby was made is that he put his thing into the woman's baby-making hole. Which makes it sound like a factory, like she's some sort of Play-Doh toy that you just crank and a baby pops out.
Oh no, you put the Play-Doh in the wrong hole. Oh no, it came out as a poop.
So I remember that wording exactly.
I'm glad that's been so amusing. So what about the latter question, Fuzz?
So I don't remember the exact, Shiva just came, just by the way. I don't remember the exact age, but I think I was around 8 or 9 when I had an orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
But no, see, that's what I was interested in. What's what your first, okay, concept of I came was, because I had an orgasm around like 8.
Mm-hmm. I was referring to came as in ejaculate came out of the tip of my penis.
See, I wasn't, because as in the climax of sex is that
orgasm feeling. That jolt, jolt, jolt. That's what I was thinking of.
I'll be real frank. I've had a lot of orgasms in my life, so I don't really remember the first.
Yeah. I don't remember the first clearly. I just remember... I don't remember that it was... I didn't have a name for it at the time. Not masturbating, not jerking off. You pick that up later in the schoolyard. But I distinctly remember being real young and humping the sheets until it felt really, really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, I learned to use my hand. And then one day, when I was around 11, something came out.
And that's got to be a freaky thing to be a guy. I mean...
Luckily, by then, I had seen the sex ed video in school that explained this. So when it came out, I think it surprised me, but I knew what it was at least. And then I just had the panic of, oh, fuck, how do I clean this up?
See. I've talked to other people who from before they started producing, and then they didn't know, and then suddenly there's stuff coming out. No shit, am I sick? Or
did I break my penis?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I went to a Catholic elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
So I got, you know, year six, sex education, sex segregated, only talked about, you know, things like, you know, this is penis, it ejaculates into the woman to make a baby. Only in marriage. And if you do it anything else, you're a sinner.
This is your penis. You must never, ever, ever touch it. What about when I go to the bathroom? You use these tongs.
So, I would say that my particular sex education was less than comprehensive.
See, at least with girls,
Then I had the internet, and I found things out real fast.
Yeah,
see, so you are a little bit younger than I am. I didn't have benefit of the internet.
We did the segregated education, and mm-hmm. then, but it didn't really do the thou. They didn't really cover, well, you know, self abuse at all.
Did you go to public school? You went to public school.
I went to public school.
I was at a Catholic private school.
And for the girls, it mostly focused on you're going to start doing this messy thing once a month, and don't worry, it's normal.
And for boys, I imagine it is a little bit like girls, like you'll have hair growing where you didn't have hair growing before.
Yeah,
they covered breast growth mm-hmm. with girls. And, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes your penis will get hard, kind of, you know, explaining how male hormones got to kick in. And
I don't know if they covered that, actually. But
you don't get erections, so.
Yeah, there's no real reason.
But they did do all the boys in one classroom, all the girls next door.
They segregated us, too.
Yeah.
So.
Which makes sense.
So there you go, American sex education.
It's an interesting question, though.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's that.
I love that title, though, Polishing Your Wand.
Yep. Oh, yes.
Moving on.
Potter. J-Dub stuff follow-up.
Dun-dun-dun.
J-Dub step.
Jesus.
Boom. Try to make a J-Dub step song.
Okay.
Hey, fur fags. The same Swedish brony from not too long ago here. Thanks for the help. I've spoken to my mom about what I want to do for myself. She was mostly chill about it. I cried a lot in her lap. Yeah. And I can sometimes feel that it hurts her more than she wants to show. I'm not sure how much my dad realizes it yet, though, but he'll be let on in time. I wonder if he means he'll be let in on in time.
I think so.
Okay. I've got a job for the moment, at least to the 16th of February. It will most likely be extended by the month, so it's nothing I can just move out on just yet. Mom believes it's best that I move out if my beliefs are going to be contradictory to theirs, but she will, of course, not kick me out of the home. Well, that's good. You gave me the advice to educate myself more, but I'm fine with my current education. A high school degree is all I need for my line of work, which is metal industry. That, and I'm not a school person. I've had several nightmares of me being back in school, having to attend for a year more or so. though my biggest fear for the moment is that I'll lose my friends. I'm sleeping at the very witness that I mentioned before that plays the guilt card.
The person he was...
He wrote in previously.
Yeah, I'm just... Okay. Who actually admitted to me that he got baptized due to pressure from his family. He got baptized at the age of 15, which is very young for a witness. Witness. Okay, Jehovah's Witness. Duh. All right, I was...
Hence the JW.
Right, yeah. I didn't make the connection right away, sorry. So, I was thinking of his Witness, the movie with Harrison Ford and the Amish people, and like these badass Amish people. They have the gunfight on a horse drawn carriage. It's got the spoilers and the neon on it.
Never seen it, but go on.
Part of that doesn't actually happen in the movie, but it's a good movie, otherwise. Oh, he makes out with this sweet Amish chick. Just the balling in the barn, and I had to bring it back to the sex topic.
Right.
To be topical for the show. Okay. I felt that he's more reserved to me as well. Rumors spread like wildfire among witnesses, and I'm not really trying to hide from anything from anyone. I guess I should try and hang out with more people of the world, as they say. The very people I've been told not to hang out with. To have something to fall back on when, if I cut ties with all the J-dubs. If that happens, it'll be up to them. I can't force who they should be friends with. But I often feel like no one will like me. I don't like me for the most part, and I don't think I would want to be my friend. Okay, you have to learn to love yourself before you can love others. That kind of goes for friendship, too. Mm-hmm. And also the self-love, yeah. But we covered that last time.
Yes.
You're just like glare-o-matic tonight, Zach.
I'm like, he's writing this very heartfelt email, and you're just taking the piss.
I am not taking piss on him.
No.
Okay, this is getting long-winded again and very emo. I can honestly go on forever. I'll just end up with that. I'll take the advice to heart and speak to more people and get their advice and help. It will be very confusing to stop with the basic religious habits, but I suppose I have to do it if I want to break free and really discover what I truly want. It is a very scary thought, and it feels very unreal. Oh, and I'm an earth pony. There's some facky pony sona shit for you. Though I really don't take my OC any seriously at all, like most furries do. Have a good one, and wish me luck, Philippe.
Well... One thing he says in here, he says he doesn't like himself and he doesn't want it, didn't think he would want to be his friend.
Mm-hmm.
I guess one part of that is if you don't like yourself, then all you can do is, and I'm not being flippant when I say this, is make it so that you do. I mean, okay, if you don't like yourself, ask yourself, what don't I like about me? Is it because you're soft-spoken? Is it because you're introverted? Is it because, whatever. If you see something that is not a desirable trait, if you see something that is, do what you can do to improve it. I mean, just look at yourself in the mirror, think really long and hard of, okay, why don't I like me? And then work on it. I mean, you're young. You've got plenty of time to work on it, to change. There's no reason that you have to stay the way you are for the rest of your life. So, you know, if you don't like it, change it. So, you've got plenty of time.
And, you know, people of the world, with quotation marks, I mean, this is the problem with insular religious communities, is that they make it so hard for anybody to... have any sort of alternative view. Mm-hmm. And I do feel, and I've spoken with this guy via Skype in the meantime.
Oh, cool.
That he might have jumped the gun a little bit in terms of talking to his mom, talking to his parents. And I was like, this is supposed to be theoretical when you have a backup plan. But, you know, the thing is, you know, you do need to get to know more people and know how to and have to figure out how to function in the wider society that's outside your kingdom hall, because that's the nature of dealing with the real world, is you're going to have to learn to deal with everybody and be friends with everybody if that, you know, and that, because that's a desirable ability,
mm-hmm.
you know, to be a friendly person. And be able to interact with people regardless of any sort of perceived religious bent.
It just makes it so hard where it's either you're with us or against us. That just is hard.
And I do feel bad for you on that part. As for, you know, stopping with the basic religious rituals, if it brings you comfort, there's no reason to necessarily stop it. You could wean
yourself off slowly.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like cold turkey. It's like all of a sudden I have to stop doing whatever rituals I've done for the past 20-some-odd years.
What kind of rituals do the Jehovah's Witnesses have, you know?
I don't know.
I don't know what the... I guess probably praying at a certain...
Probably not terribly too far off most mainline Protestant. But it still counts, you know, prayer and all that. But yeah, I mean, this—you're at a situation where, you know, you're not quite in the wind, but you're taking a look out there at the big scary world, and gonna have to take the step out there.
And you might be able to find some ex Jehovah's Witnesses who have left the church or got separated from it.
There might be organizations,
yeah, who don't quite take it as an extreme view and still follow most of the tenets of the religion without being quite so insular. There's got to be groups out there of people who follow most of the tenets but separate out somewhat, and they're not quite locked so very into the culture, I guess you'd say.
Yeah.
So.
Hopefully that will be useful of useful advice to you. Yeah.
So, my turn?
Yep.
A really short and sweet one.
Okay.
An odd question. I have a Twitter account, same as Sig. I was wondering for professionalism, it's not quite the proper term, but near enough, whether I should have a normal and an 18-plus account or just use the not-safe-for-work hashtag. Just to clarify, I don't mind people seeing my 18-plus tweets, but rather than just want to... keep the not safe for work separate from the safe for work. I believe that hashtags can be hidden, so I think that maybe better. I just wanted your opinion.
Hashtags can't really be hidden.
Yeah.
I'm aware of. If you're reading Twitter on your app, you can sometimes mute them. So if there's a conversation going on about a hashtag that you don't want to see, then you don't see it. But you can't kind of make private your not safe for work.
Yeah.
Tweets or
on the baseline, you know, like the Twitter website and what their basic app, you can't do that.
My main account is really furry. It doesn't cross with any of my, no, my sister's on it, so, but she's pretty liberal. But my Twitter is pretty much just me being me. I've got an After Dark account, the 18-plus one, but that's where I do some of the more heavier sex talk, where I know that most of my casual friends don't necessarily want to know about anything like that.
Mm-hmm. So, you do what with what?
So I
keep how many kinda, liters?
So I kind of keep that stuff on that account, and I may do like some mild TMI Tuesday stuff on my main account, but... anything that's really personal, I'll keep on the 18-plus account. So, but it's kind of look at your audience and see if the people are following you. If they don't want to see it, just kind of segregate it out.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt. You know, you could have the situation where, like I have, where my mom follows my Twitter account.
You poor soul.
So I have to like, what am I tweeting, and will this shock my mother when she sees it?
Yes.
So,
tiger.
I'm looking forward to seeing your mom again. I like having her in the den.
Well, they're looking forward to it. They'll be here next weekend.
Yep.
So, yeah, After Dark accounts, it's a good thing.
Yes.
Now you'll need like a third account that you can hide from your mom.
Yes.
Okay. Original account, do not steal. All right, so we have a whole bunch of topical emails. We put out the question as to, well, what was the question, Fuzz?
basically that we, and I've kind of backed off on this a little bit because I'm like, yeah, I kind of understand now. That we tell artists that they should never ever give their work away for free or take. It'll give you good exposure as an explanation for why they should contribute to something for free. But we tell writers all the time to submit stuff to anthologies and stuff like that. And, you know, even if they're unpaid, it's good exposure. And I'm not saying that either of those points are, like, good or bad. I was just, I was repeating what I'd heard, and I was also just wondering why that is, because they're two creative disciplines that we tell people the exact opposite thing, basically. So, and, you know, and I've had other explanations since then given on Twitter, given on the show, and we do have some responses on people's points of view on that. So,
oh, good.
Okay, so, writers versus artists. This is from Pyro.
Okay.
Why do we tell artists not to do free stuff, but writers should do free stuff? I want to answer this question right now, but I want to preface this by saying it might come off as excessively bitter due to current mood. Fucking Mario Kart. Anyways, it was pretty much comes down to exposure. Art drives this fandom. No ifs, ands, or buts. To a degree, it makes sense, since furry is a fandom with no established canon. Therefore, your dog person is going to be different from my dog person, and the art is a quick and easy way to illustrate the difference. Plus, with a wide range of prices you can find for artwork, including the now infamous Your Character Here picks and adoptables, which I find pretty pathetic of themselves, but I digress, getting a picture of your character done is almost a rite of passage in furry. Even I, who has almost gone out of my way to not get art of my fursona, have art of my fursona. Writing, on the other hand, is seen, if at all, as a resource in abundance. Anybody can write, and just about anybody does. Now, granted, there are very wide swaths of skill levels in art and writing both, but generally art gets more props because it seems more specialized. Pyro. P.S. My apologies if she settled with this one, but she
wasn't
was not.
Wasn't that bad.
So, there we go. Exposure. Dog people differentiation. There's that opinion.
Okay. Dog person.
Man.
Well, that is their opinion, and there's nothing commentary-wise to really talk about until we get through
these. So let me read the next one, then. Okay. My answer to this week's question. Dear Fuzzershy, Saffron Dash, and Sheevy Pie.
Oh, why did I have to be Pinky?
Fun.
I'm much more of a Twilight. It's true.
Twilight Sheevil.
Twilight Charcoal.
My little Charkies.
They're all old Chackettes.
I was going to say they're all Charks.
Charks, no. I was trying to make a Chackette joke.
Really. I like my little Chackettes. They'd be cool as Chackettes.
No. Just
more limbs. More limbs!
Everything is better as Chackettes.
No!
Is Checkout
snakes.
So, emails.
This week's question is something I've actually considered before. While I don't claim to have a definitive or correct answer, this is my personal opinion on the matter. And I am really, I'm sorry, I'm really, really stuffy tonight. And it's weird. It's like I get really stuffy when I come over here. I wonder if there's like something in the air that I'm allergic to.
I don't know. We certainly don't smoke or anything around here.
I know, but it's like, does it get really cloggy over here? I don't know why, but anyway. Why are visual artists told never to work for free, while writers, authors are encouraged to give away free work? It all comes down to the level of input required into the resulting media by those who will view or read it. For an artist, they can invest many hours, days, weeks, or even months into a particular image, an image which someone will then spend 10 or 15 seconds looking at, perhaps longer in a small minority of cases, then move on from. In a case of furry art, they may leave a fave or a watch behind, or a comment to indicate their enjoyment, but still, they probably will not devote more than a minute of their time to said actions unless masturbation is involved.
Takes more than a minute?
Quick fire, Saffron, they call it. As such, many...
10 seconds flat.
Well, you were lying. You are the fastest in Equestria. As such, many in the artist community who are more experienced and have become aware of this fact will doubtlessly encourage their fellow artists to not work for free to ensure they're remunerated for their efforts behind the before the picture is posted anywhere, and people have a chance to simply gloss over the hours of effort went into creating it. Of course, the same is true for stories. You could put hours, days, weeks, or months, years, and into a piece of written fiction, either no cost or very little, if not seeking by the hour payment. However, the difference here is that in order to engage with said piece of work, a reader must contribute much more of their time. 5 minutes for a very short story, perhaps? Too many hours or days or weeks for a full-length novel or serialized set of works. The lack of instant gratification given by written work over art, and forgive me for again using the furry fandom as an example here, can clearly be seen within erotic or pornographic works with which I have some experience. A one-shot comic page or even a single image could tell you a great deal in a matter of seconds. Who the characters are, how they're interacting, the pleasure or romantic adoration they're feeling for one another, and what kinks or quirks their personalities may embody through sex. In a story, however, you cannot hope to gather all those details without reading it through from beginning to end. The details are not condensed and explained in pretty pictures for all to see, but thus in order to gather the same level of understanding, you have to put more time into reading a story. As such, many writers, and those who are friends with colleagues of writers, might see it necessary for a writer to earn a reader's loyalty, to thank them and reward them for choosing to take the time to read a story of theirs rather than looking at someone else's picture of a similar scene. Thus, writers offer up their work for free or are encouraged to do so because they believe that is perhaps the only way for them to work their way into a position of any confidence, where they will finally be able to ask for money, into a position of confidence where they will finally be able to ask for money in exchange for their work without scaring the followers away. I hope my position as a writer doesn't make me seem too biased, but I suppose we will see in comparison to the answers written in by other listeners. Thanks, ever enthusiastic Jeeves the Roo, a.k.a. the newly created Eily Mist Earth Pony from the Whitetail Woods, Scotland. P.S. Thank you so much for the Kickstarter plug last week. I'm currently 80% of the way to my goal. Cool.
Huzzah.
P.P.S. I have winter wrap-up stuck in my head. I hope you do too now.
Winter wrap-up. No.
Okay.
Why is that in the history? It's like, I didn't use this last. What is this?
What is this? Oh, witchcraft? God. It's not made by Apple. It is confusing.
No. So there's that. Shiva, it's now your turn. Because, I mean, I do see his point that,
yeah, I can see it too.
Yeah.
I know. Writers versus artists and a shameless plug. Evening. This very topic has come up a few times with some friends and I. Honestly, I think the answer is simple. Go to the FA front page, and you'll see 12 to or 15 or however many new art submissions. One can almost instantly evaluate all the works and make a snap decision on whether they like it or not. New artists gain popularity fast if they're any good, typically. That simple and fast taste test, as it were, is absent for writers. It takes time to read a story, and for most people, they'd rather spend that time reading stories of an author they already know is good, lest they waste time on a dud. Also, from my personal experience, it's very hard to break into the writing community. One often has put all or almost all of their work for no financial return just to get a few readers. I've seen a lot of fantastic authors continue to sleep under the radar for long periods of time. As for me, I've just finished my first anthology submission. If it gets published, I certainly won't be making very much money from it. I write because I enjoy it, and I've got no illusions that it'll ever be a hobby that I'll make money from. Here's my shameless plug for my SoFurry account. It's tana-wolf.sofurry.com. I don't fancy myself the next great author, but I'm pretty sure I'm at least average. Tana Wolf.
Cool.
There we go. I'm sensing a trend here.
Yeah.
It takes time to... You have to... reel people in with the free, and that because it takes investment on their time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I do totally get the whole you know, wasting time on a dud story, or in this, or even worse,
yeah,
getting invested in a story that's mid completion and then it doesn't get completed.
Yeah, that's the worst. It's like, this is awesome. And it was published 5 years ago, and there's no more of them since?
Yeah.
That's a common issue with fanfics.
That's an actual, it's one of the reasons that I've dropped a lot of fanfic reading that I would do.
Because they never finish it.
Because I would get involved in a story that was partially completed, and then, derp, it's not getting updated. It's been 5 months since this story. But this, it's leaving me hanging. Holy shit. So. Let's see. This one's a quickie. Why writers should work for free and artists should charge.
Because writers suck, lol.
I suppose overall that authors tend to get a little to no recognition due to the more visual nature of the modern world. Text was good, but after the era of the book and the era of radio has come and gone, and people are looking for more instant gratification, especially going into the television era and now the internet era, textual art did see a small resurgence earlier during the time when most people were using 28 and 56K modems. But as high-speed connections are more commonplace, the ideal form of art are pictures that dwarf the screen viewing it, pictures and animations. So unless one is along the lines of Mr. Gold, as a writer, you're mostly out of luck. Hell, I can't even get my roommate to read my work. But that's how it is, it seems. So...
So I got a comment on that. I would actually disagree with this. It seems, I mean, not to beat up on the writer of the email, but it's a little pessimistic and argue that, I know it's not, he's not as cut and dry as, well, we have TV now, so why do we need books? It's, and actually, readership has grown a little in the last couple years.
Mm-hmm.
With the advent of e-readers,
yeah,
and e-reading apps on things like tablets and stuff like, and smartphones,
I actually end up reading a lot of my books on my iPhone.
Yep.
I mean, I've got a Kindle, but half the time I've just paged through it on my phone.
Yep.
I never thought I would get comfortable with reading something on electronic devices because I love the feel of a book.
Right.
But I've actually I've been amazed how much I transferred to that medium.
Yep. And you've always got your phone on you, pretty much. So, like, days when I've left my Kindle at home by accident because it's in my lunch bag, I have my phone in my pocket.
And
yeah.
I can read. The other thing is I think that we've also going back to a little bit more text-driven than we used to be, even if it's semi-retarded text, is the advent of more text-based communications.
Twitter and SMS.
Twitter, SMS, Facebook. I mean, there are now, you know, video chats and cam chats and everything else like that.
Mm-hmm.
But even when I can pick up and call my sister, most of the time I just shoot her a text.
Yeah.
I'll text my sister more than I'll call her, or I'll read, or I'll talk online via text rather than verbally.
Because for me, when I'm at work, my sister will send me a picture of what's going on in her day, and I could reply to her on text, put my phone down, and an hour later check it for her response.
Yeah.
But I can't sit there at my desk when I'm doing my job with the phone to my ear having a conversation with my sister.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'll sit there, I'll shoot little messages off to people that I would otherwise not be talking, have a communication with my entire workday.
Yeah.
In some ways, I think it's actually become, and I hate to say it, in some ways I really dislike Twitter. Mm-hmm. Because, yes, you can get those little minute updates from people of where they're going, what they're doing. But I kind of miss the days of LiveJournal when people would sit down and write a little bit more in-depth what they did, where they went, what they're doing, and actually put their thoughts down in a little bit more of a context. And it kind of feels like Twitter's moved away from that. And, you know, it also, because it's so instant, you're not also getting kind of the more thought out, you're getting the angry reactions, whereas people would go and they would rage on LiveJournal, and I know a bunch of people who would get done writing it and either put it up and then delete it, or just at the end of, you know, typing it all out, go, you know, just typing this out, I worked my way through whatever, and they'll just delete it without even posting it.
I've had a couple of things where I've done that, and then I've set it to private and posted it so that only I could see.
Yeah.
And then I'll come back a day or two later and I'll read it. And I bother to post it at all, a lot of times I'll end up toning down a lot of the language mm-hmm. in it so that it sounds less vitriolic than when the emotions were very fresh with me.
Whereas Twitter's people will pick up their phone and in 128 characters, rage.
Yeah.
You know.
Twitter is really good for making like broad generalizations and really snap arguments.
And passive-aggressive.
Passive-aggressive bullshit or cynical responses. Like seeing someone's excited about something and just being like, Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
You corporate shill. You know, you can be an asshole at 140 characters, but it is so much harder to, like, explain something back in one tweet.
Yeah.
Without just saying, fuck you, tweet.
That's basically it. It's like, pooping, I just... tweet. Yeah.
Taking a poop.
There actually is... But back to the topic, there actually is data that... people were very worried about ebooks cutting into and destroying the printed book market.
Mm-hmm.
And while there has been a little bit of an effect of that, the data is actually showing that the overall number of readers has grown because of the convenience of ebooks on Kindles and tablets and stuff like that, as opposed to, well, I'm not going to buy books anymore, I'm just going to buy ebooks. So it's actually making more people read, which is good.
Because they like the format?
Yeah, because if you make something convenient, people are more likely to consume it. So people may not have read for years, and they're not going to think of like, well, I'm going to drive to Barnes & Noble and browse and find a book. And or
but they'll log on to Amazon and just buy it.
Yeah, like I saw – here's a good example. I saw a friend of mine post to Facebook that she had just finished reading this book about the 100th anniversary of exploring Antarctica. Mm-hmm. It was called 1912, the year the world discovered Antarctica, something like that. I mean, it had been sort of discovered before that. But that was like
where they really went down in.
Right, yeah. And I was like, ooh, I've always been kind of fascinated by Antarctica. That sounds interesting. And then she was like, well, it's on the Kindle. It's really good. And I went to my Kindle and I bought it. And, thanks to Amazon, just automatically debits to whatever account card I had set up with that. It was super easy. I mean, it's like buying either Amazon MP3 or iTunes if you have an iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
Just you Shazam a song that you hear. And Shazam identifies it, and then you click your link, buy it on iTunes, buy it off Amazon MP3. Both Android and iOS support it. So it's so much easier to consume. But
yep.
So, yeah, long story short, I don't entirely agree with the writer's point of view, but thank you for writing in anyway, though.
Children who are always in
Okay.
Well, we still need to take a...
We'll wait until you get over here.
Yes.
Before we start.
Wait till I stop
monkeying. We need an Adam and Eve thing.
Yep. Adam and Evil.
Well, did we get Adam Mail set up?
So, the weird thing with that, apparently they're not giving us a coupon code.
Mm-hmm.
They're giving us a banner.
Uh-huh.
Which sucks, because we can't just be like, go to Adam Mail and enter not at checkout. It has to be, go to foxstuffers.com, click on the banner, and have we got the banner on the site yet?
I don't think Dylan's done it now.
Okay. So, don't bother mentioning that.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Let's see, what do we have for Valentine's Day crap? There's a pink ice jelly dildo, but...
It's a pink dildo. Stick it in your cooch.
Mm.
And or butt. Pick your orifice.
Cooch it. Dun, 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 dun.
There's a Wii Vibe Touch. Let's see what's that.
It's a Wii.
It's wee.
It's a wee.
Let's see, Phil, how much it is in the...
Tonight, I'm player one.
It's probably not going to be discounted. Never mind.
Liberator Heart Wedge.
Get some sexy linger.
There's a Sex and Mischief Bed Bondage Kit. What about you? Something for a little bit of kinky time.
Huh. Ooh. Back ordered. It's a wedge pillow that looks like a heart.
Hold on. Let me see if this will work.
Last week, what did we have? We had a...
Hot cherry pies?
Yeah.
It was still in the cart.
Oh.
So, not porn this week. What's new? Yeah, I did put White Knights as the...
Well, the bondage kit is available.
Okay.
Sex and Mischief Bed Bondage Kit.
It's a bestseller.
Yeah, that's why I picked it. It was easy.
Cool.
Okay.
All right, let's do that.
And we're back. That was White Knights by Cyril the Wolf. You can... find the link in the show notes to that song and his upcoming album.
Note to Saverin, add that link to the show notes.
I totally did during the break.
You win this round, Fennec.
I'm ahead of the game.
I'll give you head, all right. Well, wait, no. That's not right. You'll give me head. Ah.
Okay.
I'll make you ahead of the game. My game. Game is my cock's name.
So, Shiva has this week's item from AdamandEve.com.
I would hate to lose the game, because then I'd be like looking for my detachable penis.
All right, so this week from Adam and Eve, we have the Sex and Mischief Bed Bondage Kit. Because, you know, kinky fun is fun for everybody. It's got 4.5 stars, 21 reviews, so at least it's got a bunch of feedback. Let's see. Restraints work on any size bed. Tie your lover up in seconds with a discreet bondage kit. Padded Velcro cuffs slip on and come off quickly and easy. Restraints are fully adjustable for a customized fit. Bondage kit sets up in just a minute or two underneath your mattress, and they work on any size bed. Tucks under mattress after use for discreet storage. Kit includes 4 60-inch long restraints fastened to a 60-inch long strap. Wrist and ankle cuffs adjust to fit anyone, from petite women to big guys. Let's see. Introduce your lover to kinky pleasures and the delights of bondage with this all-in-one restraint kit that works with your mattress. The wrist and ankle cuffs are covered with a thin layer of padding for your comfort and to prevent any embarrassing marks from showing the next morning. The cuffs use Velcro so you can put them on quickly and easily. In an emergency, you can wiggle out of them or even break them open if needed. Each of the 4 restraints has a plastic buckle, so you can shorten or lengthen the strap for a customized fit. This keeps your partner tied snugly and securely regardless of their size. Setting up the restraint kit is a breeze. Just tuck the connector strap underneath the mattress and pull a pair of restraints out on either side of the bed. It takes just a minute or two and you're ready for your kinky bondage games to begin. With a long connector and restraints, you can position the bondage kit to fit any size bed. The kit works best when placed along the shortest dimensions of the bed. A queen mattress measures 60 inches wide and 80 inches long. So you should stretch the connector strap across the sides of the bed instead of down from top to the bottom. If your bed measures less than 60 inches, you can shorten the connector with an adjustable buckle until it fits. Once the bondage games are over, you can simply slide four restraints underneath your mattress. The restraints are thin enough that you won't even feel them, and no one will even know about them except you and your lover. And they'll be ready for use in seconds the next time you and your partner decide to get kinky. The Sex and Mischief Bondage Kit includes a 60-inch restraints attached to a central 60-inch strap that functions somewhat like a backbone to hold everything together and in place. The cuffs range inside from 7 to 15 inches long, ensuring that they can fit anyone from petite women to even large men. Adam and Eve recommends the bondage kit for couples interested in kinky bondage games.
I'm interested in kinky bondage games.
Yes, I know you are. Let's see. There's a couple of good reviews. Order this on a spur. Going to challenge my kinky side. It arrived quickly. We have a deep queen-size mattress. The straps can go on either way, but we choose to take the sides of the bed instead of top and bottom. Straps are adjustable. The cuffs are lined and very soft. My boyfriend loved having me pinned in one spot, and I will say this purchase was well worth the money. They can be tucked down below the bed rails and pulled out whenever you need it. It was exactly as described. It. I am pleased in every way. 5 stars. So. There's one down here that says it works, but they're fine with their king bed. No problems. So, yeah, you can use it on a larger size. And, of course, it already said smaller. Pretty much everybody saying that they loved it.
That's good.
Awesome.
And so the price is $39.95. As always, we have our coupon code, not KNOT. It gives you free shipping, so it knocks off $8 in shipping, and you get half off the kit, so it's $19.98. Nice. So that plus a little tax, and you got yourself a bed strap kit.
Sounds exciting.
Yes.
So, adamandeve.com. Mm-hmm. Get yourself
some... Tied up.
Get tied at adamandeve.com.
Fuck you.
All right.
A little bit different than what we usually hear in the furry fandom, but I know, hey.
Let's see.
Back to emails.
Oh, hey, Saverin, I meant to ask you, are you interested in seeing the naked girls reading fiction at AllCon?
Might be interesting.
It's like geek girls, geek naked girls or something like that. It's like...
So it's like the burlesque where you get to see titties?
Yeah, except...
Yay, titties.
It's a separate ticket, though, because they're like a group that comes in.
Yeah.
So, I had...
Plus, they have to, like, kind of gate it, too.
Mm. Yeah, it's 21 and up. Are you old enough?
Oh, I don't know.
You'll have to, like, grow your pedo stash out so you can pass at the door.
I don't have any sort of facial hair, I know.
You can grow them. It's a couple weeks away. You can get on that.
Do you know how long it takes me to grow any sort of facial hair?
Well, spread some manure on your lip. That'll help fertilize it, make it grow faster.
So, before we go back to the emails, we should probably talk about Fiesta. Our live show.
Oh, right. Yeah. I was like, but people know we're doing a con. Yeah. Oh, our live show. Right, yes.
Yes, yes.
So, it's Saturday night,
I think? Yep, it's Saturday night. I believe it's at 11 or 11:30. It's fairly light.
I think start is 11:30, and I think we get into the room...
At 11 to set up.
At 11 to set up, yeah.
So, it'll run late this year, but it's always late.
Yeah.
But that's good, because it's after the kids go to bed, and they really, yeah, don't want to expose us to children.
Right.
Our germs, they go everywhere.
Yeah. So this, you guys said it was 5-year anniversary?
5-year anniversary. It'll be our fifth live show at Furry Fiesta. The podcast started in March of 2008. So it'll be 5 years.
Wow. Yeah. I think I've been with you guys 3 or 4 years. I don't remember when I started. So I've been here a chunk of that time.
You and I.
Yes, 5 years. Yes,
original
OG.
OG podcaster.
You know, actually, though, the fact that we've been doing this 5 years.
I'm pretty damn good.
The, Well, Kevin Smith on Smodcast, right? The most recent show
they put out. Their sixth
was year their anniversary. Sixth, and he was talking about 6 years ago, there was fucking nothing out there in the podcast sphere.
Yeah.
And, you know, we followed like a year after him, but even then, consider that for a first podcast that are purely podcasts and not radio shows turned podcast,
we're
probably among one of the older ones.
Probably, right. Yeah. There were a lot have come and gone since then, but there wasn't a whole lot out there when we started.
I think we're one of the most consistent in the fandoms, at least that, you know.
Well, consistent in the fandom, yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But I just think it's kind of interesting that, yeah, there's probably not a lot of shows that have been around for 5 years.
You know how, like, when you go back and you watch Casablanca now,
mm-hmm.
and you see all these tropes that are in it, and the movie, to the uneducated, might come off as kind of cliched until you realize that that's the first time all that shit actually was said, those famous mm-hmm. lines and stuff like that. So when I see occasionally I'll see criticism leveled at Notcast, like, oh, furry's just talking about sex. It's like, sure, there's probably a lot of furry podcasts where they're talking about sex and dicks a lot now, but you gotta remember, like, there wasn't when we started. We were the only ones, and we thought, hey, furries, like, have a lot of relationship issues because...
It's like, let's do something useful with our...
Yeah, they're internet-based, and there's a lot of LDRs and stuff like that. Yeah, let's do something interesting with it.
And that's not to exclude, you know, Two has been doing his stuff off and on for the past probably 10 years or so. And
yeah, but he's more of a, like, a comedy show, isn't he?
Well, yeah, I'm just saying that in terms of doing a show,
mm-hmm. yeah.
And, like, the Fun Day Poppet show will be going when the Rad Roaches rule the earth,
mm-hmm.
the rate they're going. But even then, I wonder how that was distributed before.
It was done by via Real Media.
Yeah.
Streamed live. And...
.rm.
You could download the RM or RAM file mm-hmm. afterwards, but you weren't supposed to archive them because they didn't want people to maintain an archive, apparently. Yeah, it was like a rule on their website. And back then, archiving them was really kind of out of the question unless you were really at the cutting edge because, like...
A lot of space.
At the time when, like, everyone had, like, a 1 gig hard drive was on the upper end of things... 3 hours of video, even on highly compressed, shitty-looking real media format,
was still
probably a pretty sizable chunk of data, yeah.
I mean, even to download it back then was almost unthinkable. It was, you know,
yeah.
in the dozens of megabytes
mm-hmm.
when to do so on a low-end dial-up connection was...
Streaming was even difficult
yeah.
back mm-hmm. then.
Oh, I know how shitty RM was, you know, with its postage stamp size videos.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, it's
really
tiny.
Pixelated.
And they had to pay a fortune to Real Media Network to broadcast on Real Media.
Mm-hmm.
It was like some sort of licensing fee or something. I wonder how they do it now, if maybe they just have like a live stream. Because I only watched like 2 or 3 episodes because I lived in Florida at the time, and I was like, it's not really for me. But I know that their technology, I believe, has probably developed a lot over the last 10 mm-hmm. years.
Probably.
And I would assume that, like, they would probably use, like, live stream or something nowadays.
Yeah, probably.
Like, a lot more. And now you can broadcast in, like, HD video and shit like that. And,
yeah, you can see the individual bits of fuzz on that puppet.
Yeah.
But it was... You're like, I don't come on puppets.
God.
It was just an interesting segment to have them talk about. I'm like, yeah, that's kind of crazy in a way. Mm-hmm. A lot of the stuff that we take for granted now isn't very new.
Yeah.
Things like podcasts and the like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's like you count on stuff so much that when it goes missing, you get grumpy about it.
Like F.A. I mean, F.A. started in like 05.
Yeah.
And that's not really incredibly long ago, but now you're kind of like, you can't imagine not having a DA-style furry gallery site.
People get so bent out of shape when it goes down or has problems.
Yeah.
Or God help if they do X. It's like, it's a free freaking service, people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They spend a lot of money keeping that up to date.
Yeah. Because they wouldn't put up with our faggotry on DeviantArt. So,
nope.
So quitchabitchin.com.
So we're going to be having a little bit of a get together at Fiesta.
Yes, we will.
I guess
we'll have a CAC.
Cake.
Maybe.
Maybe?
Dot, dot, dot. Well, we have an idea. We have to actually do the idea.
Saverin.
I know how to order a cake.
Are you sure?
Well, he's saying maybe because he fully intends to stick his dick into cake.
I'm just saying.
They pay extra for that.
Hey, look. You ordered two different sets of flowers earlier in this episode. You talked about ordering flowers.
And they didn't deliver.
And they didn't deliver.
And well, you know what they used to make cake? Flour. I rest my case.
There you go.
Well, I have reasonable, you know, understanding that Siam knows how to drive and pick up a cake.
I mean, he's traveling like four blocks.
I mean,
he could get lost. He's a cat. He might just be like, fuck this shit. I'm going to wander.
And then he takes a nap on the cake.
Just walk out. He's taking purr, a nap.
He does that cross flex thing in the icing.
So if it just looks like a mess, you'll know it's, oh, Siam
no,
is at it.
I know it's going to be Saverin humping it. Because we're going to be there at the live show. He's like, I'm going to reenact the first time I came for you.
No,
like, you humped a cake. It's just like when I was 11.
No, oh, no. We're going to walk me. In. No. We're going to walk in.
Excuse me. No.
The cake will be a mess. We're going to go, what the fuck? And Saverin's going to be, I have no idea. This crotch is just going to be frosting.
Yeah. That sounds terrible.
And we caught you white crotched.
Moving on. We're going to go back to some emails because we have a whole bunch of them.
And then there'll be like the one shy fan that's in the audience like, Saverin's voice is so sexy. Can I lick the icing off?
No.
That's a hell of a
random aside regarding my voice. Uh-huh. One of the nurses at the sleep center asked if I did radio. Oh. I was like, I do.
Cool.
Like,
I could tell when
it.
You were like horking on your tongue that you had a really nice voice.
Well, I talked extensively, you know, little questionnaires and the like beforehand.
I enjoyed you like live tweeting your sleep test, basically.
Yeah, I posted a picture of my face and like I look like a fright.
Yeah, because like, you get the fucking diodes all over you. Did they put them all in your hair?
Yeah, and they left that nasty shit in your hair. And you got to. Ugh.
Yeah, it's like a horse came in your hair. I would have no basis for this comparison.
Okay, so just.
It's this thing.
All I can say is, oh my god, internal sonograms suck.
So, this is the further digression.
Okay.
So, to let you know what they have diode wise on you at the sleep doc, so they had two on each leg, one on either side of my chest. One on my neck, right side of my neck.
Mm-hmm.
One on both cheeks. One on my chin. One on my forehead. One on either ear. Then, like, one on the top of my head. Two on the back quarter halves of my head. And then one at the base of my skull.
Yeah, and they take this thick, viscous goo and slather it in your hair where they're going to put the diode because they don't shave parts of your head.
Luckily.
And they stick it to that. And you're left with this sticky gloop in your hair when you go home the next day.
One of the, like, when I got home, I shower, had to take a hot shower and melt that shit out of my hair.
I think it was like two showers or maybe more before I felt that it had fully gotten out of my hair.
Yeah, they did.
It was weird.
They
was grody.
Gave me a couple of those up in my hair when I went for surgery this summer. I don't know what they were looking for, but, that stuff is horrible.
I remember when I had an EKG, and they put the little things on my chest.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a very hairy chest. So when the nurse was like, okay, I'm going to rip this off quick, okay? And I'm like, okay,
whack, and I have a little circular patch where the hair is
and
much
no nipple.
Lighter.
Your nipple is just gone.
Oh. Yeah, ow! That would hurt so bad. But no. What was funny was when I welcome the medical cast.
Yeah.
When I had my gallbladder out, they shaved the lower half of my abdomen. So I had like all this hair on my chest, and then there's like this crescent moon shaped bald spot around my belly because they pull it out through your navel. So like going up from like mid abdomen down
to
my stomach.
You just had a bare tummy.
Yeah. And it was this perfectly circular little, huh?
Didn't it itch when it grew in?
It actually didn't. Huh. It's funny. Yeah. I don't know why not, but it's really kind of cool how to do that. There's like four little incisions, so they just snip it on the right side, fill you with gas, and they move it.
And then they
pull it out through a little semicircle incision at the bottom of your navel. Hmm. And because it's your navel, eventually it clears up, or it closes up. And I imagine if I looked close enough, I'd probably see a scar. But it's not really noticeable because it's like in your navel, kind of. So.
Yeah. Okie dokie.
He's like, moving
so
on.
Moving on to...
And then let me tell you about my circumcision. No.
I was like 3 days old and they used a cigar cutter. What the fuck?
I was 5 years old.
You remember it?
Really?
Yes, I remember it.
So we're not going to talk about your circumcision
because
here.
It's in Britain. They don't do it at birth. So I had to have it done later. And I remember, we are going to talk about this because it's good and freaky. I remember waking up towards the end of it, looking down and just seeing blood. Not like tons, not like spurting out like, oh my God, I'm pissing blood or something like that. But just seeing like
blood,
gauze and blood and then passing out
blood
again.
That's why. Blood.
In baths. Sucked for a 5-year-old boy with an incision on your cock.
Ow.
Yeah.
Moving
Subject,
on.
Artists versus writers and a question.
So something else about my penis.
if it's well in the summer.
You know, as long as I've
like
been
a
you,
glove.
I still haven't seen your penis in all actuality. You would think that we're as a sex advice people that we totally fuck, you'd be wrong.
As tight as we are.
Yes. Hello, Notcast. Luke Silvertail here again, and I have to say thank you for your views on the assault rifle ban last week. I, leaning towards the more conservative Republican side of things, agree with most of what you said, though I have to say most of that is not only proper training to use said firearm, but common sense as well. Sadly, that is a rare commodity these days. The only thing I would have to disagree with you on is the topic was about handguns. There are hunters that go out and shoot small game, rabbits, possums, etc., and do not need a rifle to do the job. I would say, however, that the caliber of the ammo used should be regulated. No one needs the freaking Desert Eagle to do his job. But enough on that topic. You folks ask why we have a double standard with writers and artists when it comes to doing these things for free.
I'm sorry, I just...
like
now that he's mentioned that particular gun, I'm thinking of the scene from Snatch.
Oh, God.
You know, where he's like, well, because my gun... clang says Desert Eagle 0.50 on the side, and then it does this crazy zoom in, and your guns have replica stamped on the side, and I don't remember word for word, but it ends with Clive Owen, and I think it is basically going, now piss off.
God, I love Snatch. It's one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, it's a brilliant film. I need to watch it again. It's been ages, but go ahead.
I don't think Sarah's seen it. I need to show him it.
Oh, Sarah's gotta have seen Snatch.
Yep.
Really?
And now we watched it one time at your place.
Damn. Okay.
My view on the matter, moving back to the email,
okay.
Is that artists and others that work
Wait,
with
Wait, we read email here?
Occasionally, if you guys wouldn't quit diverting.
Okay.
But I like diverting.
Stop it. My view on the matter is that artists and others that work with
so
a very visual medium can get their artwork appreciated almost immediately.
How about them Apple ponies? The iPhone.
Orange background. Once you see it, that's it.
Horse cocks.
Why? Why are you doing this? be pretty hardcore on this.
That's the only way we're fucking with you, though.
That's a good long email, too. We can keep him here all night.
Yeah, but then we'll
haven't seen Shiva's dick either.
I'm glad.
In the drawer, I can go get it.
You may not go out of your way.
He's find biting the artist, his tongue, and it's not the sleep apnea.
But you still appreciate the work. While with writers, their work takes effort to look at. You have to read the whole story before you can assess if it was a good piece or not.
Mm-hmm.
Also, to again express Shiva's statement last week,
2 weeks ago,
the authors can have their names immediately attached to works this way. If you like this one story, you can easily find them and read more of their stuff. While artists may not get a following at all, once you see a picture, that's usually it. That's just my thoughts on the matter. Now, in this week's news, I noticed and have heard from the National Boy Scouts of America Council, the people that make the decisions on national policy, that they are looking at the gay ban policy now that they have in place right now. I personally think it's about damn time they have. For now, we know things about the LGBT community that we did not know about in the 80s, when the ban was put in place due to the stereotype at the time that gays were pedophiles. I think that the policy should have been looked at a lot closer than just a flat-out saying that boys should not receive an Eagle Scout award when it came to light. I'm an Eagle Scout myself, and I know how much effort goes into receiving that award. And to be told no because of something that may or may not be your fault to begin with is plain old stupid. It has been proven in several scientific studies that those who identify as LGBT mostly have a different wiring in their brains. I'm a big supporter of the LGBT community myself, and have been flirting with experimenting with that as well, and to have an organization that has helped me in coming up with my values and morals, punish the young men who work hard to receive this honorable award is just wrong. As for adult leaders being gay, this is going to be a bit harder since most of the scouting troops and pacts are allowed and chartered by mostly churches, religions that follow the God of Abraham. This would likely remove that relationship. It's going to be a tightrope to walk to phase the policy to allow this to happen, since there are not a lot of supporters in the organization these days. Though scouting will not die, thanks to the only not only people who support the program and what it means to be a chance to teach boys not only viable life skills, but to show them responsibility and leadership before going out into the world. But the government charter will keep it alive as well for the historic nature the scouts have in our country. This is just my take on things, and this is from hearing what you guys have said last time the scouts were brought up. I'd like to clear on one misconception about the government charter. The charter does not give the BSA any cash from the taxpayers, for it is considered to be a charitable organization, and as part of teaching boys responsibility, it is up to the boys to raise funds to be able to go on trips and events. This is why you often see them doing fundraisers and looking for donations in general. Wow. I'm going to shut my trap for now before this becomes too long for you guys to read on the air. Hope you guys have a good time at Furry Fiesta and that there are no fires, both figuratively and literally, that show up there. Your faithful listener, Luke Silvertail.
So, this whole thing about, you know, not even something that is their fault. I don't know if it's something I've mentioned before, but on the thing of penalizing kids for something they have no freaking control over. Back in high school, when my senior year, when it came time to apply for scholarships, they would have them posted outside the guidance office, and you could come down and read them and see which ones you could apply for. And there was all this, okay, for this award, you have to do this, 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 and this. You know, make this GPA, do this, do that, mm-hmm. whatever. And then there was one, and almost everyone, with the exception of a few, you had to give your date of birth and the date of birth of your parents' marriage. And if you did not fall within 9 months after your parents' marriage...
Oh, my God, really?
You were considered a bastard and ineligible.
They actually were enforcing that? Yes. Oh, wow.
That was one of the criteria for many of these. I was fine because I was 4 years after my... But I remember being outraged as a child of just going, you poor souls, these kids had no control over when they were born or what their parents did, and they're going to be penalized for it.
Yeah, it's not their fault that their parents were uncontrollably horny.
Yeah, or born out of wedlock, or a bastard, or whatever. Yeah. You know,
I'm fairly sure there were some lawsuits involved that changed those.
I mean, it'd be a different story if they were the bastard child of 100 maniacs.
Mm.
But, then again, maybe Freddy Krueger wouldn't have gone on a killing spree. I just remember
being really pissed off by that as a kid.
That's crazy.
The thing is, and this is what really infuriated me about the whole Scouts thing, was that all this time, you've got this whole thing about gays and Scouts, And everyone's like, all the leaders, they're going to be pedophiles. All the leaders, they're going to... It's like taking, you know, a man out with 15-year-old girls. And they obfuscated and changed the subject. It's not the leaders that are gay, even though there may be leaders that are.
It's the kids.
Dudes aren't going to just come and lead a Boy Scout troop with no kids. It doesn't work that way, you dumb fuckers. But the scouts themselves... The gay scouts is the point of this. Not the fact that some leaders may be gay. It's but the kids. Fact that there's going to be gay kids in the scouts. And they kept making it about, oh, you know, these predatory gays are going to come after your boys. When it's... Mm-hmm. There may be gay boys in your scout troop.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to fucking face stab every one of those disingenuous motherfuckers.
Mm.
Because they completely missed the goddamn point. And they were going care. With the gays are scary pedophiles.
Yeah. Fuck I just them. Like Jon Stewart's point of view on it, that the Boy Scouts are already pretty gay. This is a bunch of boys wearing neckerchiefs looking forward to the jamboree.
In the woods.
So, yeah.
So. Till the Scouts get their shit together, fuck them. That's my opinion.
They've kicked the can down the road a few months, apparently. They're going to have that discussion, like, in...
Oh, and that's why I buy Girl Scout cookies and I don't buy Boy Scout shitty popcorn.
Well, I buy Girl Scout cookies because I'm fat. Delicious. Yes. And they're delicious.
I still have about half that case that I bought for Panther last year of the Thin Mints. He's managed to slowly...
Whittle
them down, but he still has like six boxes left, I think.
Oh, he likes them that much?
Tyrion loves
them. I bought him an entire case. Well, that was also when the right-wing fucktards were getting all up in arms because one troop in like Tennessee had like...
Oh, they had a male to female
transgender person. Girl
Scout, yeah.
And I'm like, well, that's very progressive of them. And of course there's... The fucking cunts that are like, oh, we should boycott them because they showed this ounce of tolerance to somebody who's different.
I saw something come through because, about
you know, that's Christianity in a nutshell.
Well, there was like a high up in the Girl Scouts of Texas who was pro-choice, this, that, and the other thing. All this other, like, things that, and basically the person was, this person is horrible because they do this, and the reply to is, and this is why I will buy Girl Scout cookies to support leaders like this, person posting it.
That's kind of why it's like, I'll buy an entire goddamn case of Thin Mints, because fuck the haters.
Yeah, it's like, can I buy it from that particular troop and get them to ship it to me?
No. So... I can vote with my wallet, and so I shall. So, Fuzz, how about an email, huh?
Okay. going a little off topic here, I'm going to read Cutie Mark Tattoos. Howdy, y'all. In your last episode, 209, Stuff and Things, you mentioned that only crazy bronies would get a cutie mark, CM in this email, tattoo. I would like to counter that point with the following. First, I can agree that getting, say, a rainbow dash CM down your thigh is stupid, but I've seriously contemplated having the CM of my OC be my first and likely only tattoo. OC, for those aren't familiar, means original character, so the writer's so, pony cap persona.
In furry terms, they're fursona, yes. But ponies, so pony-sona.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Now, you might be wondering why my opinion has such a dichotomy. Well, to put it simply, a CM is supposed to represent the essence of your purpose, your lot in life. No, it's not. It's supposed to represent your special talent. Oh, nerd rage!
But the essence of their purpose would be their special talent.
Shut the fuck up. There shouldn't be another symbol that could more represent you. Because of this, if your OC is a mirror of yourself, as mine is, then its CM should be the one image that most represents you. Okay, it makes a kind of logic. This makes me firmly believe that a CM should be the most logical thing to have tattooed on yourself. It's for this same reason I believe that it's stupid to tattoo the cutie mark of some other pony on yourself, because that should never identify you as well as it does them. TLDR, I would totally get a tattoo of my cutie mark if and only if it's my OCs. Your diligent listener, Kylie Rouge.
I can kind of see that.
Yeah.
If you have an idea for a... some kind of symbol that, well, that perfectly represents your...
accumulates everything that you are.
Think about your little, your pony, O.C. What does he do?
He's a printer.
And his has the three ink drops.
Yeah.
That would be a tattoo that you could get. I don't think Tyrion would be very happy with you if you did.
Especially if I got it on my flank.
On your ass cheek.
Yeah.
Oh, just re-put your hand.
They're guides.
Yes. Oh.
So my turn?
I would just say that for any tattoo, you should be damn sure that...
and think long and hard
that
on
that
it.
That is something that you want on your body for the rest of your life.
But
actually, yeah, mine at least wouldn't be too ostentatious, I guess. But
what did I do? I did something wrong.
Oh, I archived one that I didn't want to read right now.
Well, I... no, I... oh, okay. There. What witchcraft is this?
Sorcery.
Yes. So, anyways.
Alright, well, let's see. A sexually confused bunny.
First read that subject line as a sexually confused brony.
I really like Pegasus.
Well, but the horns.
Wings.
Said, well, it's complicated. I grew up in a situation that wasn't the best, but let's not get into that. I think that may be the reason I am so entirely lacking in self-esteem and take the submissive role in any encounter, social, family, conversation, and R-rated situations. I'm male, but I constantly hear twink being thrown around in my presence. I am slightly below average in height, not muscle, and kind of skinny, so yeah, I guess it does apply. I got an R-rated situation with a couple of friends, and I had more fun with a guy.
I'm masturbating right now.
But there are everyday things about guys that turn me off. And there's the fact that I enjoy female company more.
The noise and it's not working.
But I don't know if I could actually sleep with a girl. But I know I could with a guy. I know sex is not what makes a relationship, but it wouldn't be right to leave a girl, well, unsatisfied, for the entirety of a relationship. Single and happy for now, Legion Bunny.
So, you're a skinny twinkie dude that had fun with a guy.
Doesn't know if he could sleep with a girl.
But enjoys the company of girls.
I guess it kind of... and don't forget, I mean, if you're comfortable with a subby role, there are very dommy girls out there.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And there's also very tomboy-ish girls. And
it also depends what the everyday things about guys are that turn you off. Because if it's more guyish thing, like if it's like being a slob or body hair or something like that...
No one stops the slob.
you can find a guy that is kind of what you're looking for. I mean, not all guys have the same kind of habits, but I don't know what it is about the guys that turn you off.
Yeah, feel free to tell us more.
Right.
You don't, it's like when in doubt, you don't have to stick to a label. Just be like, I like sex.
And it could be, you know, you'll be running underneath the assumption your entire life, and then you find your exception.
Yeah.
You never know when you think you know everything, and then you'll find that one thing that breaks the rules.
Yeah. And you may be able to sleep with a girl. Just close your eyes and think of England.
So, yeah, that's pretty much all that. Feel free to expound, and we'll see what more we can tell you.
Okay, well, we've hit our file size limit on whatever wacky program Saverin is using, so we haven't done that before, so we're done for tonight. So we'll see you next week at our live show. On that note, good night.
And big balls.